Welcome to Mighty Parenting, the podcast with real, raw, and relevant talk about raising teens and parenting young adults.
Welcome to Mighty Parenting, a community where we help you raise teens and parent 20-somethings so they can be happy, successful, and emotionally healthy adults. I'm your host, Sandy Fowler, and I want to thank all of you Mighty Parents for supporting the show. Whether you're sharing the podcast with friends, writing in with your appreciation or your questions, or financially supporting us, we are incredibly grateful. We create this show for you, and we couldn't keep it going and growing without you. So thank you so much for doing that. And I'm going to ask you to continue. We love the questions. We love the sharing. It's all great. So today, I really have been looking forward to today's interview for a number of reasons. If you know me in real life, because I haven't really talked about it much on the show, if you know me in real life, then you know that 2 years ago, my family made a drastic change in our eating habits. We started eating real food, and initially we had other things, other restrictions, like we'd cut out all grains and done some other things. And let me say, it was quite an experience. Yes, there were definitely challenges, but there were good things that happened, and one of the best being that I didn't have to deal with crumbs. Just kidding. That's probably not the best thing, but I have to say I hate crumbs, and not having bread and crackers in the house means there are no crumbs. So, well, what really was great is I discovered so much about food. Something that I was dreading, spending this extra time cooking, actually, while it had challenges, and I'm going to ask Nagina for some help on those today, it also had some really good sides to it, some fun and exciting sides. I started learning more about how to cook, and I'm definitely still not someone who can taste my way through a recipe. I don't know if I even want to be that person, but I started to understand more about the process and how to make meals more interesting. And that means we had more interesting foods to eat. I get more foods that I like, that my family likes. I can make better use of my leftovers and things like that. And it was just, it was good. It was fun. I found out about spices and all the different flavors and things. And as I said, I haven't really talked about it on the show much. And basically, that's bothered me because I know how big a role diet can play in our kids' lives as well as ours, and how many issues families face that are impacted by food. But I've been leery to tackle it because there's one big roadblock that I ran into when we changed our diet, and I still haven't fully solved it. And that is that it takes time to cook. But, today's guest has jumped right over that roadblock and has a whole new world to show us about food and different ways that it impacts our lives, including weight loss, which I know is going to be huge here in the new year, right? We all want to get rid of the Christmas weight, and I'm still working on the last spring, last Christmas before that. But Nagina is our guest. Her name is Nagina Abdullah, and she is a health coach for busy women. And she is a busy mom herself, so she understands firsthand what families are dealing with. Nagina, welcome to Mighty Parenting. Thanks for joining us here today.
Hi, Sandy. I'm so excited to talk with you.
As I said, you know, I'm taking the bull by the horns here today. It's the new year, and many of us aren't feeling so great about ourselves between the holiday treats and the stress and the busyness. And, you know, we've decided this is it. It's a new year. Maybe we're trying to eat healthier, be healthier. Maybe we're trying to lose weight. And we've decided that this is it. We're going to stick with the plan, and that's that. When someone says something like that to you, like, this is my diet and I'm sticking to it, or this is the healthy eating plan and this is what my family is going to eat, what is your response to a comment like that?
Oh, okay. Well, this is so interesting because when I first started my journey of weight loss, I had recently had, I had two kids and I had an extra 20 pounds and I just didn't feel comfortable in my body. And so I started finding out what I can do to make changes given I had a busy, demanding career and I also had two kids. And so I learned that there were some foods that I could actually add more of, and then there were some foods that I needed to take take out of my diet. And after making some shifts, which we can talk more about, I started eating foods that were so delicious and so filling that I didn't feel like I was on a diet at all. I felt like I was just learning about healthy foods and being able to eat them all the time. I lost 40 pounds in 9 months. And it was very transformational. And so when I did lose that weight, a lot of especially moms that had kids, they asked me so much advice. They asked me, what do I do? How do I lose weight like that? What do I eat? And I would tell them all the time, I would tell them exactly what I did. So I said, these are the things I don't eat. These are the things I do eat. And their eyes would just glaze over. They would say like, oh, I can't do that. Like I can't not eat, you know, certain foods and I have to eat this for breakfast. I have to eat other things. So they really would kind of like, they were reaching out to me for advice, but yet they weren't ready to make the shifts in their own life because it does take changes to get healthier. And so over time I learned that there's actually a way to influence changing behavior in a way that people are more receptive to. The way to change behavior that I found works really well. And I started telling people, instead of telling them everything to do, I would tell them one or two shifts to make. So for example, I would say, in the morning, what are you eating for breakfast? And most people will have something like yogurt and a banana or cereal and fruit, or maybe like something along those lines. And so I would share with them that one of the key things that you can do to jumpstart feeling more energy and to lose weight is to have more protein at your breakfast. So ideally having something like two eggs and two egg whites or a Greek yogurt instead of yogurt. And they would actually be very receptive to kind of swaps to make or things to add to their diet. And they would go and do that. And then they would come back and say, I did that. Now what's left? What else? Tell me what else to do. And so a lot of times I would go on to the afternoon snack. That's another problem area for a lot of parents, because we feel stressed or we are kind of having that post-lunch lull. And so that really what I learned is to actually change the way that I communicated. And when you learn it, for someone that's learning to make a change, you don't have to do it all. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. You don't have to make changes in everything. You could make a change in one meal, or you could start by adding one food. And that's really a way to make it simpler and to kind of just ease into healthy eating versus just a complete upheaval of everything you're doing.
And I really love that idea, because we did a complete upheaval because we were changing for health reasons. I mean, you know, one of my girls had some serious health issues and I went, okay, this is the way I can manage doing this right now. And in some ways I say that worked for us. And it also would have been nice to just change things a little at a time. Part of it was also because she had given me buy-in. And when you get a teenager to say, hey, I will do anything that you tell me to do right now, I jumped on that bandwagon. But for most of us, and now we're at the point, because we keep shifting and tweaking a little bit. And that's what I found too. When I just do one thing at a time, it's not hugely stressful. It's not a total upheaval to my routines and my plans for the day and the way that my household runs. Mm-hmm. And hopefully it's not as disconcerting to the other members of the household too, mm-hmm. when we do that. I also love that you just shared with us the psychology of how to change, mm-hmm. because there's us, you know, us as mom or dad, us as the cook in the house, the grocery shopper in the house, which could be different people too. But there's also, we're going to be hopefully bringing our whole family along on this, we're going to call it a food adventure with us.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, what I'm hearing from you is that's also a way to get our older kids to change. Because again, it's a little different when they're young and you're just putting food on the table and it's kind of take it or leave it time. When they get to be older in their teens or again, 20 somethings, I think it's more challenging to make those changes. But having your psychology is going to give us a little leg up.
Yes. Oh, thank you. Well, I mean, it's definitely, it makes it easier if we're able to introduce healthy foods that are familiar to what our kids like already. So maybe it means using like a healthier sauce or a lower sugar sauce. It could mean like swapping tortillas out for healthier tortillas, but still serving the same dish. Sometimes it could mean, you know, instead of using like ground beef, using soy crumbles one time, even though, you know, that's, you don't want to use that too often, but just starting to make these shifts. But you could also do an upheaval if you want to, but for older kids, it really will stick more. It'll be easier for them to ease into it if you're doing it slowly, or maybe adding like a new side versus a whole entire new meal. So kind of taking it slow, the approach of tiny changes. When you start to make tiny changes, you can actually create big results. It's just about being patient. It doesn't happen overnight. And that's what food is. Food is very emotional. And it's like we know what we like, especially older kids. They know what they want. They know what they crave. And so really introducing those changes can be done with kind of some empathy and patience.
So before we get into the whole time factor, because as you heard at the beginning, that's still a big deal for me. Why would we even want to do this? Why would we change our family's eating?
Yes. Okay. So there could be, you know, it depends on everyone's journey and where everyone is at, but it could mean that maybe the mom or dad themselves want to get healthier, and they know that in order to get healthier, you know, they don't want to cook separate meals for everyone. They want everyone to eat the same food. And while they're getting healthier, they know that it's a great example for their kids. And then of course they would want their kids to eat healthier. So that could be one reason. Another reason could be because you realize that your kids are eating junk food a lot, or they're not eating the healthy foods that you want them to grow up as adults and just really be craving more of. Instead, they're craving for high sugar, processed foods, packaged goods, and convenience foods. And you really want to help them transform because you just see where this is leading. So there's a couple different reasons, but the result of eating healthier is you feel more energy, you have better gut health, which is very important for brain health. So there's a link between gut and brain health. So you start to feel a clearer brain, you have more stable emotions, you have more stable mood when you're eating foods that are helping your body, like more vegetables, more leafy greens, more protein, those kinds of foods. They really help with your digestion and in turn just help with your whole internal body systems. And then another reason is to lose weight. Like maybe your child needs to lose weight, or maybe you'd like to lose weight. That's really a big reason, a big trigger to say, okay, I need to eat healthy. And some of the things, you know, I found are really challenging is that a lot of times kids, they don't want to eat the traditional healthy foods. Like they just don't feel like eating a salad. They don't feel like eating grilled fish or grilled chicken and vegetables. And so it really can be a challenge to how you can introduce healthy foods that are not boring and that also don't take a lot of time to make, because as parents, we have a lot of things going on. We don't want to spend hours every day cooking.
Right. And one interesting point you touched on there, you mentioned the idea of losing weight, but that it's not necessarily just apparent. With teens in our homes, there are concerns about weight issues, whether it's kids not eating enough of the right foods, like you said, or dietary, emotional eating, or dieting, which again, New Year's resolutions. I know there are a lot of parents who are like, oh my gosh, my kid's talking about dieting and they don't really need to. So if that's a situation, do you have recommendations for us on how we might be able to approach our kid and utilize this idea of healthy eating? But you know that this healthy eating, this is one of the things you help busy women do, is to lose weight by shifting some of the eating. So how might we be able to talk to our teen or our 20-something, you know, they go off to college and they come home I say after, you know, freshman year, but even at Christmas, they might come home with half of the freshman 15, you know, you didn't gain it all in one night. And they're like, oh my gosh, I need to lose weight. Mm-hmm. What can we talk to them about? What suggestions can we make to them, or reasons can we give them for making this shift so that this is a healthy way of helping them achieve their goal?
Yes. Oh, such a great question, because there is a healthy way to go about it. Now, given that we are at the beginning of the year, there are so many resolutions to set that many of us are setting many times. They do involve, I mean, one of the most popular ones is to lose weight. And so the problem with the typical messaging of losing weight is it's usually through diets and usually through temporary means, like doing a very trendy diet, maybe taking supplements or taking a smoothie, like drinking smoothies two or three times a day to lose the weight. Well, those are all temporary measures. And what's going to happen with a temporary measure is that you will lose some weight if you actually follow it. But what happens afterwards? You haven't really worked on changing your lifestyle or worked on changing your habits. All you did was go through a temporary quick diet to get somewhere. And then what? And so if your child is coming to you, or if you notice that your child may need some help in losing weight, it doesn't have to be about losing weight in an unhealthy way. There is a way about eating healthier and doing it in a healthier, sustainable way. And so I would approach the conversation from that angle of what can we do? What changes can we make now that you'll actually like doing, that are not like you're going on a diet where you're changing every single thing in your day for maybe six weeks just to lose the weight? What are some foods that we can add to your diet? What are some things that we can replace other things with that may make some shifts? And so here's some examples. Like, for example, my son, who's 10, he actually put on 20 pounds in 1 year as a child. A lot of it came from the food that he was eating. I didn't realize it because it seemed normal. It seemed like he was playing sports, he was eating. I didn't realize that he was gaining so much weight until we went to the doctor. And so what I did is I didn't want to put bad ways. I didn't want to put negative associations with weight into his brain. And so I started just telling him, I really want you to have more protein at your breakfast, because previously he had been eating cereal, waffles, that's it. But I started adding a Greek yogurt or a protein shake or eggs to his breakfast. And I told him to be really good at sports, to be to really be building your body and be strong, we want to add protein. And so I'm sharing this message because it's important to have a positive relationship with food. And a lot of times you can actually talk about the foods to add versus the typical way that that usually weight loss is approached is what to take out. Like, you're supposed to take out all sugar, you're supposed to take out bread, you're supposed to take out rice. And yes, those things work, but mentally they can be hard to wrap your head around. So having more protein at breakfast is a great way to start. Maybe you send your child that's going to college or that's going to high school, you give them like a nice, those 100 calorie nut packs, have them eat two of those for their snack instead of going and getting chips or getting, you know, something else that literally just passes through your body and is added calories without really giving you more energy. So offering some tactical solutions to your child that you're introducing in between their day, like adding more protein here, here's some nuts for lunch. Maybe for dinner, we will, you know, having some healthier versions of options. Like, for example, instead of having spaghetti, maybe having zucchini noodles with sauce, like that could be a start to it. So, really approaching this as a long-term shift, and learning about foods that are good for your body, that are natural, that will lead to lifetime habit change, and that will lead to lifetime healthy living. And so definitely it's really looking at it, not looking at it from the diet perspective, but looking at it from what are some healthy foods that we can just start adding into our day? And as a result, you're not going to actually be craving those unhealthy foods as much because you're feeling so full and satisfied with all the healthier foods.
So I really like this. So we can talk to our kids from kind of two different scenarios. One is, our kid is going, oh, I need to lose weight. It's the new year. And we can talk to them and go, totally understand that, been there, and then have that conversation how it's not about trendy fads that help you lose weight that then you gain back double and you yo-yo and do all of that. That mm-hmm. it's about making some real lifestyle changes that will impact you for the rest of your life and get you these extra benefits. And then the flip side of that is maybe we see that one or more of our kids are in a position where they need to lose some weight, or maybe they don't need to lose it yet, but it's kind of those habits are creating some extra weight that we're not going to want them to have, or just the bad habits. In that case, we don't even have to mention the word weight. We can just talk about healthy lifestyle changes and some of these other positive things you've mentioned. You said, you know, with your son, it was about being good at sports, building a good, strong body. Also, we can talk to our kids about having more energy, more focus, being able to get more done, kind of tapping into their personality and the things we know are important to them, and showing them how making a few shifts in our food intake helps us. Then you said, oh my gosh, we can talk about foods to add rather than what to take away.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that I think is so huge, because any diet, any weight loss program is certainly about deprivation. I say a trendy diet. I'm not talking about diet in the larger sense of just what you eat. I'm talking about trendy diets, as you mentioned. They are definitely about deprivation. And that doesn't work well. When I said that there were some reasons that our wholesale crazy change of our food worked, part of the reason it worked is that it wasn't about deprivation. We had purchased a 2-week program, plus there was an educational piece that I did, but it had part of the education was it had 2 weeks of menus and meal planning and information. And so we were trying new things rather than going, oh, our favorite meal is lasagna, and how can we make lasagna healthy?
Mm-hmm.
We just ate all new, brand new foods, 3 meals a day for 2 weeks. And we laughed about the ones that were horrific, and we, you know, made more and more of the ones that we really liked.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was that deprivation piece. So let's talk a little bit more. You talked about foods to add, and I know that was one big change for us, is that breakfast is definitely more about protein. It's usually eggs with, you know, some vegetables or some fruit on the side, some cut up tomatoes, something like that. So what you talked about, nut packs in lunches, adding Greek yogurt or eggs for breakfast, what are some of the other really good foods to add to help us eat healthier, get all those benefits, and get that side benefit of losing weight?
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so I'll tell you three kind of healthier foods that are swaps, that are easy to swap. And then I want to talk to you about what my favorite, which is something to add to coffee or tea, which a lot of times kids that are in high school, college, they want to get their, whether it's their Frappuccino or any other kind of coffee drink, because it's fun, it's gourmet. So I can talk about something to add to that, that makes it a lot healthier instead of sugar. So the first thing is salad dressing. So a lot of times a way to make a meal healthier is not to use salad dressing. So when you're buying salad dressing, if you actually flip it over and look at the nutritional ingredients, you'll notice that there's quite a bit of sugar in it. There also could be sodium, which is also not too healthy, but whenever you have sugar is really what's creating a fat gain. And so if you're eating sugar and you're not burning it off right away, it's going to become stored as fat. So when you can focus on the sugar levels of foods versus like being really focused on the calories, if you look at the sugar, you're going to go straight to weight loss, and you're also going to go to more energy. Because sugar weighs us down. And so instead of having salad dressing there, because there can often be up to a tablespoon of sugar per serving size for salad dressing. So if you're going out somewhere, it's always great to ask for salad dressing on the side every single time. And then you dip or you pour, you lightly pour it over so that you're controlling how much you have. But if you're at home, instead of salad dressing, you could use balsamic vinegar, which is a great dressing. If you'd like to add a touch of olive oil to that, you can. And then another option is using salsa as your dressing. Really being focused on, if you want this to be a healthy meal, you can make the salad really tasty with all the other things you're adding on it. Like you can add lots of cut up veggies, maybe eggs, some protein, make even some garbanzo beans or kidney beans, which help to make it creamier like dressing does. That's really a great way to just easily be healthier. Another one is heavy sauces like Alfredo sauce or other sauces that are creamy. So anything that has dairy or any kind of milk products in it, there's usually a lot of milk sugars in it. So anything that's creamy, there's usually cream that was in it, or it could have been milk. There's quite a bit of sugar in milk. And so instead of using something like an Alfredo sauce or a heavy sauce, which you'll probably notice as a parent, you'll feel some bloating and you'll probably see some bloating after you eat these kinds of foods. Replace with tomato sauces, because tomato sauces are anti-inflammatory. The whole family likes them. They're naturally lighter. They're lower in sugar. And so that's kind of a quick swap. And then one of the big areas for more energy and for weight loss is the bread that we eat. So if we're eating bread throughout the day, bread, it breaks down very quickly to sugar, like especially typical white bread, but even whole wheat bread, it breaks down very quickly. So what you could do instead is first try to eat less of that bread, but you could also eat what's called sprouted grain bread. And the company that makes this that's really good is called Ezekiel. And it's usually in the freezer section because there's no preservatives. But this bread, it's higher in fiber. It's easier to digest. It fills you up more and your blood sugar doesn't spike when you're eating this kind of bread. So it's really a go-to kind of must-have bread around the house. And then finally, the coffee kind of coffee or tea one that I mentioned. So I recommend and I love adding cinnamon to coffee or to tea instead of sugar, or just decreasing sugar and adding cinnamon, because cinnamon has a sweet taste, but it doesn't spike your insulin like sugar does, meaning it doesn't bring down your energy. You don't go through sugar highs and sugar crashes, and you don't gain the weight that you would gain if you put like a teaspoon or two teaspoons or whatever it may be of sugar or even artificial sweetener, which has other detrimental effects. Is using cinnamon as that kind of go-to addition for liquids and for anything where you need a little bit of sweet added in. So those are some suggestions of healthier foods to eat. And there's ways to incorporate it as a family, and to just kind of go, like, for example, do more tomato-based meals versus Alfredo. Instead of having regular bread on the side, have some Ezekiel bread, and you can add some butter on that. And so those are kind of some ways to just replace what you're doing and change up what you're doing. And you're going to start seeing some very quick changes happening in yourself as a parent, and also in your kids, if you're doing this consistently, because these are shifts that don't sound like they're very big, but they're actually saving you a lot of unhealthy additions into your body on a regular basis.
Yeah, it was fascinating to me to watch. So I have two daughters, and as I said, the one was having health issues, and the decision with her doctors was, okay, we're going to do this diet. And then she got excited about one in particular. So I'm like, if you're excited, we're going with that. I talked to my husband and my other daughter and said, how are we going to manage this? They said, you cook whatever you cook. And if we want something else, we'll make it or we'll get it or whatever. Well, that meant, like I said, we were going zero grains initially, just as a kickoff thing. And my older daughter, who did not have to participate in the diet, of course, was in the house. And so there aren't bread and crackers and all those things. And she was the person who wouldn't make a sandwich, or if you were having hamburgers, she didn't put it on a bun just because she didn't like it. But she commented after she was home for Christmas break that year, before she went back up to school, she said, I had no idea how often I just reached for a piece of bread or the box of crackers when I was hungry, because that just seems like the easy, quick thing to grab. So your suggestion about just change it, which by the way, Ezekiel bread is so tasty. It has so much texture and flavor to it that we don't get normally in our bread. It is really good. But, you know, like you said, making those changes makes a big difference. And it reminds me of a story my mother-in-law tells. Her mother, one year, just said, you know, she was getting older and weight sticks around more. And she's like, okay, she only made one change. She stopped putting sugar in her coffee in the morning. That's the only thing she did in her life. She changed nothing else. And grant you, I'm talking about a year time frame, but we're only talking about a teaspoon or two of sugar over the course of a year. And she lost 5 pounds.
Oh my gosh. Yep. Absolutely. Because it's a daily change. And these are high impact changes, and you're not really feeling it that much. You're not really, you're not changing your taste buds drastically at all.
So that's kind of the weight side. You also mentioned in there the word anti-inflammatory.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're a huge proponent of spices. I imagine also just adding more of those flavors to foods. Mm-hmm. Why else spices, and why are we concerned about anti-inflammatories?
Oh, absolutely. Okay, so this is a great question. So overall, okay, anti-inflammatory eating, there's a lot of spices that fall under anti-inflammatory eating, or that many spices are anti-inflammatory. The reason that we would that it's important to focus on an anti-inflammatory diet is because inflammation is the cause of so many chronic diseases. It also causes causes discomfort, bloating, it causes more weight gain, lack of energy, and it's something that is usually impacted by the food that we eat. That's what we can control. It can also be impacted by toxins in the air, but food is really the major way that we are feeling inflammation. And so when you eat an anti-inflammatory diet, you're really reducing a lot of the risk that you have for many, many heart diseases and other diseases, and you're feeling healthier. And so that's why that's really key. I want to squash a myth. Not all spices are spicy. Most of them are actually very mild, or can even be sweet, like cinnamon that we talked about. There's only a few spices that are actually spicy, and that's because they contain a compound called capsaicin, and that's what brings the spice about, and that's usually in spices such as cayenne pepper. But spices have a tremendous amount of health benefits. So, for example, cinnamon not only tastes sweet, but it also helps you reduce your blood sugar levels and keep your blood sugar levels very stable, which is important for mood, energy, also for pre-diabetics or people that are really that really need to look at their sugar levels in their blood. There's also a number of anti-inflammatory spices. My favorite is turmeric, which I call the golden spice or the wonder spice. And that's because it is yellow in color. It's very bright, but it's very anti-inflammatory. In fact, it's quite a craze right now that there's supplements that are turmeric supplements at health food stores that help you reduce inflammation. So spices help you lower your blood sugar, reduce inflammation. They also help you curb your appetite and increase your metabolism. Those are spices like cayenne pepper and black pepper. And there's also so many other both health and weight loss benefits of using spices such as these. And one of the best things is that they're all natural. They're not supplements. And so you're just eating healthier foods that are from our earth, that our ancestors have been eating for thousands and thousands of years. And that's what really, you know, when you see something that's been brought over centuries, you know that there is those are good foods. Those are good ingredients to have because we've been using them for thousands of years and they've stood the test of time.
Yeah. I had a podcast a few years before Mighty Parenting, and I interviewed a food scientist on there. And the one thing she said has stuck with me. I probably interviewed her 8 years ago. And what she said is, we don't actually know for certain. These various studies that we do, food studies, she said they're hard to replicate and it's difficult to measure. She said the only thing we absolutely know, 100% for sure, is that every time a traditional diet in an area is replaced by a Western diet, everything gets worse. All the health markers get worse. So what I heard you saying was, you know, focus on one change at a time, focus on lowering sugar, and then, you know, as you're ready to do more, look at more of what people call real foods, which isn't complicated. It's just, is this how it came out of the ground? Is this how it grew in nature? Whether it's, you know, eggs and meat or vegetarian, however you're going to go with that, just is this actual food? And spices, that was one of the things I learned, was that they were full of all these micronutrients and they taste good. We started putting turmeric in our eggs, just a little, you know, I sprinkle salt and pepper in there. I put a little turmeric in there too, and it's really tasty.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's a great way to start using turmeric, is to add maybe a half teaspoon into your eggs, because eggs are yellow anyway, and turmeric is yellow. So you don't even notice they're in there, but then you're getting that anti-inflammatory boost right in the morning if you're having eggs then.
So, and the protein that you mentioned, that's important for our breakfast to, you know, to get us thinking. Going down this anti-inflammatory road for just a minute, I want to actually kind of spell this out. Is you talked about inflammation being a cause of many chronic diseases. You talked about how, you know, spices and foods help with things like controlling our blood sugar levels, which helps to stabilize our mood, anti-inflammatory, which gives us better gut health, which gives us better brain health. Those things, I want to take that next step, because as parents, we're oftentimes dealing with behavior issues and emotional issues in our teens. And it may be that the problem or part of the problem is the food that our kids are eating.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just look at this as, if we can help, if we can, you know, start making these shifts that you talk about, and we can help our kids to be more stable, be more even keel, they can be more in control, they can study more easily, they can focus more easily when they're getting a healthier diet.
Yes, and, absolutely. Yes,
and you make this easy. You make this easy for us. You know, most people, because you get caught up in, well, do I want vegan, vegetarian, paleo, all of this? You're like, no. One change at a time, start reducing the sugar, increasing the protein, start with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then work on kind of real foods. So help me out. Give us a few tips or a few ideas on the time. I'm sorry, but cooking takes time. So how can you help us with that challenge?
Yes, absolutely. And this is one of the key things about getting healthier, that is very important to take into account, because it's definitely easier to have convenience foods, to get, you know, to warm up things from the microwave, or just to eat whatever you can, like whatever is available. And then sometimes what happens is that often parents will skip meals just because it's easier to do that. And so that's not healthy either, because it's slowing your metabolism when you skip a meal. And so ways to save time, there's a few strategies that I'd love to share that are very actionable, they're very actionable, for families. And so let me talk about these. Now, I haven't talked about meal planning yet, but one of the ways, like I've talked about specifically, making small changes. Well, if you really are ready to make a shift, to make changes, what you could do is you actually could start meal planning, and you could plan your meals for the week, which many parents do anyway, but really plan healthy meals and just see just try it out. Just try to actually serve new dinners and see which ones your family likes, and then put those into your regular rotation, because you do have to go through some experimentation. But one of the keys is at least having some preparation on the weekend. So one of the strategies for this is called Sunday prep. And that's where you really spend a little bit of time. You don't spend your whole Sunday, but maybe you spend an hour or 2 hours. You've already done the grocery shopping by Sunday. And then you marinate a couple things, you chop things, like maybe you need to chop some veggies. You might need to, like, you can marinate chicken, marinate fish. You just kind of do some prep work so that you're giving yourself the gift of during the week, you're able to come home and just warm up what you'd already prepared, or just quickly assemble those real foods that you'd already thought through. And so really meal planning, it can be as extensive as you want it to be. And it can also be simpler. It depends on, you know, how much variety you want in your meal plan. So if you want to eat different things every day, that will take a little more prep. But what you can do is you can try to simplify your breakfast. And the breakfast for the family, maybe go between 2 or 3 breakfasts. Lunches can be standard, or they can be leftovers from the night before. And then you could really change it up at dinner if you'd like. So Sunday prep, thinking about the variety that you're offering. I know, you know, kids, they definitely do want that variety. But if you can figure out, maybe if you make, like, for example, if you make a like a taco casserole on Monday night, well, can you make that into like a taco bowl or a taco salad the next day? Like, how can you kind of change the food that you've already created, but just give it a different flair? That adds some ease to it. And then another tip that is extremely helpful for family healthy cooking, is to batch cook. So that would mean you cook enough on Sunday. You cook 1 or 2 dishes that have servings to last you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And so this also is integrated, like, you want to change it up a little bit, but you at least have, like, you've made the base. So maybe you've made, if you eat meat, maybe you've made ground beef on Sunday, and you've made enough so that you can do a couple different meals on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Or maybe you make a really big salmon, you roast it on Sunday, and then you're able to have that on Monday night dinner, and then maybe Tuesday for lunch, and maybe you, like, make a salmon salad on Tuesday night. So you're batch cooking, but you could switch it up. If you don't need to switch it up and you're just doing, like, salmon and veggies 3 days in a row, and you're able to do that and your family's able to do that, that's great as well. But that's usually not the case. Maybe for parents, we're able to do that, but not necessarily kids. So, and then the other final one I want to talk about is really using easy cooking methods, such as using roasting, which means they're, like, called one sheet meals, or one pan, sheet pan meals, where you put a protein and veggies onto a baking sheet. You add some spices and you roast it. Usually I roast it at, like, 415 or 420 degrees for about 20 minutes. So you can do chicken and vegetables, salmon and vegetables. You can do so many things, and there's a quick, easy cooking method. You can also use your crock pot or your Instapot. I know a lot of times people just don't know recipes to use, or they don't know how to use it. Find some healthy recipes. I actually have a crock pot guide on my website that has 10 really easy crock pot meals. My favorite, which is called chicken tikka masala, that the whole family loves. And it's chicken, spices like garlic, ginger, turmeric. So they're anti-inflammatory, very healthy. And you can serve it with rice, or you can have it on its own. And so really finding some go-to recipes to make in the crock pot or the Instapot, those are really, really super helpful. So those are a few different strategies that help you really save time and just, like, plan ahead a little bit, but then you're also making it easier for yourself with time-saving cooking methods as well.
I love all of those tips. I love those ideas. And I'm going to add one more, because we are talking about, our kids are older. They need to know how to cook. Let them pick a day of the week that they're going to make dinner. And in the same thing, if dad is the cook in the house, say, hey spouse, hey partner, what day do you want to? That is another way of not only helping, but also educating our kids and teaching them and helping them grow. And obviously there are seasons, you know, they have sports or something that they can't. I'll tell them, hey, you can cook your meal. You got to do this meal this week. I don't care when you cook it, because, like you said, doing batch cooking, They can cook it on Sunday. They can cook it the day before. I don't care. I just say it has to be done and in the fridge for other people to grab for a meal by, you know, 5 p.m. on Wednesday. So that was a quick tip. So I just want to kind of hit a couple of high points again. And again, this was such a great conversation. Essentially, what I heard you say was, whatever our goal, whether it's feeling better, having more energy, or losing weight, the best way to do that is making simple, small changes, one or two at a time, starting with the lowering sugar and adding protein. And especially little tips, like you said, 2 packs of nuts instead of a bag of chips. Oh my gosh, you will feel so much better and so much more full anyway. You finish a bag of chips, 100-calorie bag of chips, and you're going to be like, okay, where's the rest? So yeah, little changes. And this is also a great thing to do just to be teaching our kids, teaching our family, especially if you have a concern about your child's weight, whether, you know, you're concerned that they're doing trendy diets, or you're concerned that maybe they're gaining a little, or if you're having behavior issues, this can be a great place to start, is help them get better control over their body. And you gave us 4 quick places that we can easily start lowering sugar levels by looking at salad dressings, heavy sauces, bread, and coffee. And it wasn't necessarily you have to get rid of them. You gave us options for each of those. So that was great. And then remember to use spices, because they're tasty, they're healthy, they're anti-inflammatory, and inflammation contributes to many chronic diseases. And then a few quick tips were to use meal planning, and on the weekend, do some prep or possibly batch cooking, and just think ahead a little how you can, you know, reuse ingredients that you bought for one set of meals to do others. I know I personally work real well with planning 3 to 4 days at a time, and then just dealing with, you know, dealing with Friday and the weekend as it comes, because we're a lot of times eating leftovers, or we go grocery shopping and do more. So Nagina, this is great. You mentioned that you have more information. Would you please share where people can find you on the web?
Yes. Oh, thanks so much for that summary. You can find me at my website, masalabody.com. And at the website, I have a free cookbook, which actually are really family-friendly, delicious meals, like a very healthy Thai curry. These are all interesting meals, also with spices, anti-inflammatory ingredients. And I also have a delicious, what I call a detox bowl, that's really family-friendly as well. They're called 7 spicy recipes to melt away your first 7 pounds. You can grab that at masalabody.com. It includes actually family-friendly recipes that are really tasty. And I'm also on Instagram at masalabody. And I post regularly with stories and tips and strategies to lower your sugar, to make healthy eating easier, and just to feel more energy and feel more vibrant, feel more vibrant in your body on a daily basis.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I have a big shout out to a mighty parent who shared with me. She was done, D-O-N-E, done. But she realized she was in that boat because she was not setting boundaries and not taking care of herself. So she changed it. She started setting healthy boundaries, which helped her and made things better with her kids. So thank you for sharing that you did that. I love hearing your stories and comments. If you're in that place, then I hope today's show helps, as this is one way to start taking care of yourself. And you can also listen to episode, I believe it was 93. It's Dr. Laura Dabney, where she talked about being selfish and taking care of yourself. So these 2 episodes go together really well. Thanks to all you mighty parents for being here and part of our community. And I will see you next week.